بس اوكي Hey, good morning, John.
Yes, sir.
Hey, thanks. Did you keep the home set up from yesterday?
That's fine. We just rearranged them again, but we didn't have to take them down. That's good. Hello. Hey, John.
Hi, Jerry.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Let's see how we're doing here. As time goes by. Oh. Of coming from the meditation.
Moody Blues uses blues in the best way
Oh, Ray
possible.
Thomas. Yeah.
So, I mean, every time that blue,
That was Ray.
it's awesome. That's a very soothing instrument.
It One of the guys who first produced some of their recordings, their first couple of albums, said, "I like to think of the Moody Blues as being the world's smallest orchestra." He said, "You know, there were French horns and violins and
Well, they
mandolins and
actually used a
oh, they
horn.
did.
That
They did.
first album, not the first. Yeah,
Days
first
of
album.
Future, Days of Future Past."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tuesday
And then
after
after a
Tuesday.
while, they got more and more dependent on Mike Pinder on the Mellotron, which could imitate any instrument you wanted to.
Yeah. Actually studied, looked at the study, or In Search of the Lost Score, the album cover
Oh,
itself.
yeah.
I mean, it pretty much explains
Right. There's
everything.
so much in there. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Morning, 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 morning. I'm going to begin. So let's take a second or so. I'd like to be able to do this for myself to get a sense of our connection with one another. I can sense the physical presence of people here in this room, which we have a few live audience here. But then I see your names on the screen, or I see your faces on the screen. And I know that we're all connected with one another for the same purpose. We might not speak of it or articulate it in exactly the same way, but we're all here to grow, stretch, to affirm what we already know. To be reminded of what we already know. And let us remember too that the light that we shine on ourselves and on others affects everyone and everything. Not just our own little space, not just our own little room, but everyone and everything. So just kind of breathe that into your being. Settle into this sacred space that we are all sharing with one another. As Peter said to Jesus after the transfiguration, it's good for us to be here. It is. It's good for us to be here. I'm going to begin on page 231, just to overlap a little bit between the week before the week's lesson and this week's. Down towards the bottom of the page, if you're following in the books. Now, the truth is like the light. It does not need to justify itself, because a lie will fall away in the face of the truth, no matter what is said or perceived. It will fall away in time, because the vibration of truth is higher. Light will always dispel the darkness. And darkness is simply the absence of light. I like that one particular line. It will fall away in time because the vibration of truth is higher. Higher vibration will always win. Light will always dominate over darkness. It cannot. It's the nature of things. So even though the world looks totally insane these days, it's always a reminder that I can choose the light or the darkness, the health or the sickness, the healing or the blame. And when I can't see the Christ in somebody or some situation, my prayer can be, Lord, that I may see. I know it's there. I know you're there somehow or another, because you give everything existence. I even learned this in theology class many, many years ago, that in order for anything to exist, it has to be aligned to the presence of God. If it's not, it cannot exist. So even what we might consider to be difficult, negative, difficult to find the presence of God, it's still there. So my prayer is, let me find you here. Let me see you here. Let me discover you here, because I know you are. I wouldn't be perceiving you if you were not. So my prayer, as I said so often, is these days, Lord, that I may see. Help me see you in some of these outrageous characters that would become part of our creation. Let me not judge. Let me find you first. Or if I find myself in judgment, let me release that as best I possibly can and open myself up to the truth, to the light. I'm going to forget that. But I'll remember again. You know, I even found myself this week with all the crazy political upheaval, all the court cases going on, I found myself taking a little bit of glee over someone else's misfortune. And I had to stop for a minute and say, what's wrong with this picture? What am I contributing to? Do I really want to do that? Do I really want to hold that thought? That is, I think Course in Miracles says something. Any thought that we have, any thought that we choose to hold on, goes galloping through the universe, touches everyone and everything. Do I really want to do that? Do I want to sit next to my grandson and send that kind of energy? Oh, well, I'm not doing that on purpose. Well, maybe not. I'm still doing it. How could I possibly enjoy having a brother or sister in pain, no matter who they are? That's tough. I'm just becoming aware of that one. A lie will fall away in the face of truth, no matter what is said or perceived. It will fall away in time because the vibration of truth is higher. Now here we go, say the guides. On this night, or we can say on this day, that my jurisdiction, what I perceive, because as I perceive it is before me, and what I perceive is in my jurisdiction, is in my choice, is in my purview, is in the space of my vision, is in alignment to the highest vibration available to me now. And as I lift the world before me to this agreement, to be seen in worth and to be in accord with truth, I dispel the lies, I move away from the shadows, and the truth of who I am calls victory to me. Now we must explain to him what this means. The victory is not to the small self. It's not like, ah, gotcha. There was a book years ago called Games People Play. You might remember that. One of the name of the games was, I gotcha, you son of a bitch. That's victory of the small self. It's choice. Do I really want to play that one? Gosh, I haven't thought about that in years. Interesting what shows up sometimes. The divine self claims victory over the lie. The darkness is dispelled by the light. This is never an act of the ego. It's not the personality, not the ego consciousness. Do you understand the teaching? Sometimes you seek justification in your landscape. And if it's limited, it will say something like, I will be proven right. But the I that speaks those words is the small self who needs to be seen in justice. True justice is at a much higher frequency. The liberation of the free man is justice, and any lies that were held against him or her will be dispelled because she cannot align to them. It just doesn't fit anymore. So it isn't that anger disappears, isn't it hatred disappears, isn't it judgment disappears, isn't it prejudice disappears. We just find out it doesn't fit anymore. It's an old piece to an old puzzle. It doesn't work. Like my favorite bumper sticker. If you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. Oh, yeah, I'm outraged. And then I had to ask myself, what am I getting out of my outrage? Except more outrage. Okay. And it was a moment of awakening. I mean, I still forget sometimes, still buy into outrage. But it let me know very, very simply and very, very easily that whatever I was doing with my, let's say, my negative thinking or being right about this or being right about that, was just perpetuating a whole bunch of negativity, a whole bunch of things that I didn't really need to perpetuate.
Gary, I'm sorry. What page are you on?
I'm on page 232.
Oh, thank you.
Let me read that last sentence again. The liberation of the free man, the free woman, liberation, freedom, is justice. And any lies that were held against her, against him, will be dispelled because she cannot align to them. It just doesn't fit anymore. So, for instance, I mentioned my grandson a couple of minutes ago. When I begin to realize that my outrage or my anger or my blame, my shame, my guilt, however justified it might seem, affects him as well as the person I'm projecting it to, all of a sudden my vision becomes a little bit different. I said, do I really want to send it to him? Because he is going to be affected by that just as much as the person, the personality, let's say, that I can't stand. Do I really want to do that? That kind of keeps me on my toes. Tonight we will take some questions, yes? But we have some other things to say. The first thing is for Paul. You did pass the test, if you wish to call it thus, and you have moved up the mountain. Simply put, there are no backward steps on the spiritual path. We're always moving. It might not seem this way, it might not feel this way emotionally, but we are always moving forward. That's sort of an extended law of karma, that it goes beyond just you reap what you sow. But even when you reap whatever it is that you have sown, you are growing, no matter how that might feel. The tendency you have, which is the same as most, is to continue to look behind you to see if you did it right. Somebody once said the reason why the rear view mirror is so much smaller than the front screen, right, is because that's where you need to be focused on. You're not looking in your rear view mirror when you're driving all the time. You do, might look in to check things out. Oh, that's still there. I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when in recovery literature, there's something called the 12 promises. And one of them says, we will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on. So in other words, we can still learn from our past. And I have to admit, there are still some things in my past that I am regretful for, that I haven't quite cleared the hurdle yet. I know that's possible, but see, what I find I'm trying to do is I'm trying to do that with my small self. It is only my higher consciousness that can forgive the way I need to be forgiven. So I need to be open to that one again and again and again and again. The tendency.
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah.
Just a quick question on that. As I'm moving forward, always moving forward and always, you know, evolving. What if there is someone or someone's who wants to throw shade in my past and says, I remember when you did this and did that. Am I to respond or not respond or just keep moving on?
Good question. Let me put it as simply as I can here, I think. We need not do anything that adds to negativity in our lives or anybody else's. So I don't want to get into an argument about someone else's justification or someone else's fear. I don't even have to respond to it. If the response to it is going to be is going to be an argument or something like that, right? I know what you did last summer. Well, I do too. And there are probably some things that I need to ask forgiveness for, or I'm sorry about, but there's no sense in me living back there. Okay, does that answer the question somewhat? Thanks, Jim. That's a good question.
Thank
So
you, Jerry.
we're not ignoring it. But as I said a moment ago, which was somewhat enlightening to me as well, is that forgiveness, letting go, release, and healing comes from higher consciousness. The lower self wants to say, oh, that's okay, that's done, that's finished. My higher conscience says it's finished when you allow it to be finished. When you stop going back there, can you know you are forgiven? It's like that story in the Gospels about the woman taken in adultery, where Jesus says, does anyone condemn you? And she says, no one, Lord. He said, neither do I.
Jerry?
Yes.
Go ahead, Paul.
Jim, that's a profound question. And one thing I've, and your response, have found for myself since we're on this path of evolution, constantly learning, I have realized within myself that I, knowing I have done things that have intention that have hurt people, but I know deep in my heart I've never done them with the intent to hurt. And that has a way of kind of smoothing those edges. I feel bad. I feel bad that I wasn't wise enough or in control of certain elements, maybe of the emotions, to do it, not do it differently. But I think it's important to know if you intentionally set out or not. Excuse me. And that brings some ease to my life, and I know I can move forward and have let it go. I did the best I possibly was able to do at that time. It might not have been great, but I did my best, probably without having the knowledge of that control that is needed in our lives over the physical body and our emotions.
Thanks, Paul. I think another piece of that, as you hinted at, is that as difficult as this is to believe sometimes, is that we're all doing the best we can at the moment. Every one of us. Looking back, I could have done that differently. I wish I did do that differently, but I didn't.
Jerry,
Yeah.
Jerry. So I'm thinking about the experience I'm going through right now. I'm going back and I'm looking at some choices that I made, sometimes out of anger and fear. So a couple of years ago, I started a project. I was leading a team, an international team of training developers, but I got really interested in a specific program. And I asked that they hire someone to replace me and let me work on that one program. Part of it was, frankly, because I was tired of the stress. I was tired of the criticism that I was getting. And so I took that one program. I made it very successful in pilot. And then we opted as an organization to outsource the people that I had been building up. And suddenly my program was no longer valuable to the company. When I got let go, I believe it was because the program was gone and I was an easy target out of because the company let go more than 450 people. But at first I was angry at my boss. And so I worked hard at what would I have done in his situation? What would I have done in his situation? And realize that I might have done some things differently, but bottom line is, I asked him to do what he did. And then, anyway, last night my wife asked me if I missed work. And the truth is, I'm working very hard getting new certifications and taking courses and looking for a job. But the truth is, I don't miss working there at all. I wish them all peace. I've forgiven every slight I may have ever had. I look back on the experience with joy and gratitude. Now, going forward, I'm not so thrilled with where I am right now trying to find a job because that's stressful. I've had a couple of interviews, but neither one has been a good fit. But there just don't seem to be that many jobs open for someone with my experience, my level in the organizations. So with that in mind, it was interesting last night to realize I'm grateful to be where I am right now. I am looking forward to whatever is coming next, and believing that it's going to be great. But I have no, I was very, I was surprised to discover I have no resentment. I have no, it's just, thank God I'm where I am right now. Anyway, thanks.
Thanks for sharing that, John. I'm grateful for you as well. The tendency you have, which is the same as most, is to continue to look behind you to see if you did it right. What are the repercussions of my choice? What is being done? What is said? And that is looking behind to the history to support your choice. In the present moment, each one of you is free. An oft-repeated story of Ram Dass was when he was making a sort of a litany. He said, "You know, I've taken psychedelics for X number of years. I've meditated for X number of years. I've been doing service work for X number of years. I've been doing this and doing that." And he said, "They've all been attempts to get high and stay high. Even the spiritual things that I've been doing." He said, "The difficulty was that I finally discovered was that getting high means also crashing down again. You know, you never stay on top of the mountain." And he said, "I realized that the true purpose of the spiritual life, or any life at all, really, was not to get high so much, but to get free. Free of doubt, free of attachment to anyone or anything." Said, "That's for me, that continues to be the truth. At the present moment, each one of you is free. When you go back and check your arithmetic on a test you passed in, you have to go back and redo it to what end?" I did a funeral service for a friend of mine yesterday. And after it was over, I started second guessing myself. I could have done it. I could have done this differently. I could have done a better job with that. I could have, blah, 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 blah. Saying, "What am I doing that for? Is that changing anything? Is it making anything better? Is it healing me? Is it healing the other people?" Of course, the answer to that is no. And yet, still a couple of threads of that still hanging around. "Oh, I could have done this differently. I could have done this better. I could have been a contender." To what end? If you didn't answer the question right, you get to do it again. And not because you failed the damn thing. They don't usually say or use language like that, but they're very serious about this one. Okay. You get to do it again, and not because you failed the damn thing, but because you were in school and you're in school to learn. So I say to him, or we say to him, yes, you move through it. You're at the next stage. Others will come soon. There will be other opportunities. I'm talking at church this morning. I will bet you after it's done, I'll go, oh, I should have said this differently. I could have done that better. Instead of just being here, how did Ram Dass put it one time? He said, the only thing I have to give to another human being is who I am right now. The only thing I have to give another human being is who I am right now. So we say to him, yes, you move through it. You're at the next stage. Others will come soon. But we are teaching a class now to many, and they all must understand that as they attend to this teaching, they will call to them the opportunity to know the truth through the divine self and not through the small self who demands witness or perfection or demands what can't be achieved. You could have done, well, maybe you could have done this differently, but so what? You can't go back and change it. That's the small self again. We are teaching a class now to many, and they all must understand as they attend to this teaching, they will call to them the opportunity to know the truth through the divine self. The divine self says, you know what you did yesterday? It was perfect. Absolutely perfect. It couldn't have been better because you couldn't have done any better anyway. Really? My small self said, really? What about this? What about that's, yeah, I mean, I can play that game forever. I have almost. They will
hey,
call
Jerry.
Them the opportunity to know the truth through the divine self. Yes.
Yeah, quickly, what I was just going to say reminds me, there was a book written many, many, many years ago, and when I first read, got her name, Terry, last name, but the name of the book was What You Say About Me Is Not My Business.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was so young when I got that book. So it just, so in certain, so now just with age and maybe I'm hopeful with some wisdom, I reinterpret that to me in terms of what someone thinks or says about me, that's just their narrative. That's not the truth of who I am. The truth of who I am is, you know, how Spirit created me to be, all of us to be. So that's really helpful to be able just to kind of like reconfigure that now.
Mm-hmm. And I don't go around saying to people, well, that's not the truth of who I am. I just know that in my heart. I know that they're living out their truth as best they can, even if it's happened to be projection on me. They're living their truth the best they possibly can. So I let them be. Now, this part of me is a little bit squirmy about that. I don't want to let them off the hook because what they're saying is wrong or what they're saying is judgmental. That's me just getting hooked right in back into my small self-consciousness again. It's seductive. It's always there going, hey, what about me?
It's very seductive. It was like, I feel compelled. Like I got to set them straight.
Exactly so. Because I'm really a good guy, right? I don't want them going around thinking there's something wrong with me. Because I'm much better than what they think. But it's interesting how there are some things we might have learned years and years and years ago, and then all of a sudden they crop up and we see them very, very differently than we did before. So thanks for that, Jim.
Hey, Jerry, it's
Yeah.
Keith. I'm reading a book now by Gary Renard. It's The Lifetimes When Jesus and Buddha Knew Each Other. And in it has a saying that I really like. It says, it's JAFO, Jaffo. And that means just another forgiveness opportunity. And they just keep coming up all the time to forgive myself or to forgive them or both of us.
Yeah, I like that. Thanks, Keith.
Okay.
Want to say that out loud again so everybody hears it?
JAFO, JAFO, just another forgiveness opportunity. And just to recognize them when they come up.
And I wonder what that would be like. Just another opportunity for forgiveness. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Now, Paul is a very good question, and we will answer it. When you have a person with low self-esteem, don't they require to build the ego to be in worth? Only up to a point. So we're not denying that piece. Sometimes psychotherapy, counseling I did with people had a lot to do with building up their ego, building up the ego so they could go beyond their ego. But there's got to be something there. There's got to be sort of a jumping off point. And if the person's self-esteem is so low that they hardly have any value at all, that needs to be taken care of first. It'd be like if you, Salvation Army learned this lesson a long time ago. You feed the people first, then you preach. You don't preach first and then feed them later. Because on an empty stomach, they're not going to be able to listen to anything. You take care of the what we might call the lower needs first, and then the higher needs follow. But don't forget, somebody's got to cook dinner, Martha and Mary. Somebody's got to cook dinner. But don't take care of dinner first, and take care of prayer. When you have a person with low self-esteem, don't they require to build the ego to be in worth? Only up to a point. When you have a man who is told he was not worthy of this world, he may express himself in poverty in this plane, and there are lessons he must learn to build the self-esteem to move him forward. But the divine self as him will be the one who leads him forward as he aligns to it. In other words, even the divine self is actively involved in building up your ego consciousness if you need it built up. But don't forget, it's not the ego feeding the ego. It's the higher consciousness feeding the lower consciousness. And if we can allow a person to become aware of that, but the divine self as him will be the one who leads him forward as he aligns to it. Each one of you calls the lessons you require to the self at the time you need it. Whatever shows up in your life is exactly what's supposed to be showing up in your life for you to learn something from. Right now, this minute. Each one of you calls the lessons you require to the self at the time you need it. So if what you need is esteem, and healthy esteem, we say, you know you have the right to be here just as you are, means you will call that lesson to you. Do you understand this? Now we say this last thing to all of you. You are being gifted tonight by a teaching in the book, yes, but by the truth of who you are, and we will do this all with you now. You will say this with us if you wish. And you can say this to yourself or out loud with me. I am allowing myself to be witnessed in truth, to be seen in truth. So I let go of all of my preconceived notions. I am letting myself be perceived as the light that I am. I am allowing myself to be witnessed in truth. I am allowing myself to be seen as my true self. And as my true self is seen, I am aligned to the vision of who I truly am. And in this claim, I am free of the need to be perceived in small ways. I have claimed as the victor or the failure, or the thief or the king. I know who I am. I know what I am. I know how I serve. In my higher consciousness, there are no labels. There's no necessity for labels. I am free of the need to be perceived in small ways. I am free of the need to be perceived in small ways. We see you as you are. You are here, you are here, you are here. Truth be with you. Interesting play on words. Peace be with you. Truth be with you. Goes beyond peacefulness as being an emotion. Truth be with you. We'll take a moment for Paul. We will take your nation, your questions. Yes. Stop now, please. That's probably a good place for us to stop too, because I know I'm going to need to leave a little bit early this morning. I've got my minister's duty in another room. So is there anything else you want to ask or check into before we get into our meditation time? Okay, so I'm going to ask you just to get comfortable in your place, get comfortable in your spot. Take a couple of deep breaths. Close your eyes if you like. You are in the presence of divine consciousness. You are in the presence of divine consciousness. Every drop, every ounce of negativity or judgment that you might be holding on to for whatever reason is being exposed to the light. And anything that is exposed to the light, any sort of darkness, no matter what its label, disappears. Darkness cannot stand up to the light. And the light has never gone out. And the light shines in the darkness. And as the light shines in the darkness, it dissipates the darkness. Everything becomes clear and undisguised. I am free of my attachment to anyone and anything that I have put into darkness. I allow it, whatever it might be, a judgment, another person, relationship, piece of the past, a worry about the future. I let it be exposed to the light that I am. And I watch it, I become aware of it melting away, like a block of ice putting it in the sunshine. I don't need to do anything with it, just put it in the sun. I don't have to make it melt. I don't have to force it to melt. I don't have to push it any faster than it can go. I just take that thing, whatever it is, in darkness, judgment, fear, anxiety. Like a block of ice, I put it in the sunshine. And it melts away without any effort of my own. The sun is the higher self, the higher consciousness. But the only work it has to do is to be what it is. So imagine or feel or sense if there's anything frozen around my heart. Anyone or anything that I have put in the dark. I allow the light to enter in. And to allow the ice to melt away. And as this day unfolds, I will remind myself again and again to release, to let go, to put the ice of my judgment, my anger, my fear, to put it in the sunlight, and gently yet powerfully allow the sunshine to do its work. For the gift of life, the gift of grace, the gift of healing, the gift of light, I give thanks. I am free, free. Stretch, breathe, and open your eyes when you're ready. Thank you all. Hope you have a great week. Stay well. Be well.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you all.